You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God.
My name is Lisa Hewitt. I'm one of your community members, and it is my great honor today to be a part of service. And before we begin service, I know we say this a lot, but really, today is kind of an amazing day. We do have a very special guest speaker. And some of you know who I'm talking about because we've been talking about him for a few weeks now. And he also was here yesterday for a workshop and happens to be one of our ministerial candidates. So Reverend Clive Delaporte. Yep, that's you. He'll be giving today's meditation. He'll be giving today's talk. And we will do a proper introduction later in the service. But as we like to begin all of our services, Reverend Clive's going to open us in prayer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love the Florida, California thing. If only it was that easy. I'm still waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's join together in an opening prayer. Divine Father of Light, Divine Mother of Love, we open our hearts and our minds today to your presence and power within us. We open our hearts and minds to the universal Christ and the unfolding good that image and likeness prophesies and promises to each one of us, individually and collectively. We claim that promise for this ministry, for all the candidate ministers, for all that is, for all that was, and for all that is coming to be. We release anything that is an obstacle to the unfolding good of Unity of Tustin. And we receive all that is helpful to it rising up, ascending, to be a demonstration of divine grace, divine good, and divine glory. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about the imaginal Christ. I know that some of you have Googled the word imaginal and gone, what? The word imaginal is aligned with the word imagine, image, imagination. And June is the number 6 month of the year, and imagination is the number 6 power of the 12 powers. And so if we had an intentional practice of the 12 powers for a calendar year, this is the month that we'd be focusing on imagination. The imaginal Christ is the presence and the power of the divine image and likeness in everything and everyone. It is the presence and power that initiates our transition and transformation out of what is old into what is new, into what is next, into what is better, into what is best. It is the way we honor what is past, become aware of what is present, and envision what is in the future. It is how we experience and express our divine good. The Gospel of John in the Christian scriptures in the New Testament encapsulates the essence of the imaginal Christ when Jesus in Christ consciousness said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is the essence of the Christ purpose within each one of us. That purpose is divinely ordained to fulfill itself, that we might know the Christ and the coming of the Christ within us, and that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's kind of weird, you know, tryout weekends. Have you had many? You're sitting with an assessment form. I know you've got it. It was introduced earlier. I have one too. It's kind of like ministrymatch.com, right? You're checking me out. I'm checking you out. We're looking at our options. We may choose each other. We're trying to put on our best. 6 months from now, we may be sitting around a table going, who are you and what happened to the guy we hired? It's all in divine order. We just need to trust the integrity of the process. Be guided by the North Star of the divine principle. It will take us home. We can trust that. I Ubered to the airport on Thursday before taking a flight to come out here. A young man drove me from St. Petersburg to the Tampa International Airport. He told me that he was originally from Puerto Rico and that his name was Jesus. For those of you that speak English, and I think there's three of us or four of us. I think there's three or four of us in the room. And for those that speak American. The name Jesus translates into English. So there I was on Thursday in the Uber, being taken to the airport in Tampa to come out for my tryout weekend, being driven by Jesus. I was thinking my tryout weekend was off to a good start. I did not see on the evaluation form that was a criteria. But if it was, I'd be okay. June is the power of imagination. God is the most imaginative presence and power that there is in a universe. Every single thing that shows up in the third dimension of our material lives finds its source and substance in divine ideas. Divine ideas are perfect and complete, and to the degree that we are aligned with those ideas, they show up in our lives, in their completion and in their perfection. When we are misaligned with what is divinely true and right and good, that misalignment shows up as the challenges we experience in our everyday life. The work is within us to bring ourselves every day into greater alignment with the divine presence and the power within, so that it can flow through us, unhindered, into our lives, and manifest the good that is inherent and innate in it, with ease and grace, in our individual lives and in our collective collaborations. Pam mentioned the idea that came up yesterday in the workshop about your letters of intention. I'm an aspirational writer. I'm trying to get published this year, but before my first book comes out, I write booklets. And I have a booklet called Celebrating a True Advent. And it's about 90 pages, but it walks you through the whole process of Advent and leads you into the burning bowl and then the white stone service of releasing an old year and receiving a new year. And one of the things I encourage my congregations to do is not to write their letter of intention in the church. I don't know how you do that. But to write that letter of intention before you get to your burning bowl service. And in your burning bowl service, to reduce your letter of intention to one high leverage thing that you want to let go of. That one high leverage thing that you know is the domino effect to a whole bunch of things that will leave with it. And to put that one word and the energy of that one word on the flash paper. Do you use flash paper? For the releasing. And then to take a whole week in reflection before you come back for the first Sunday to do the white stone service, which is the looking forward service. The white stone with the new name, the new consciousness for the year ahead. And to take your letter of intention and reduce it once again to one thing for the new year. It might be one of the 12 powers. It might be anything. But again, it's a high leverage domino effect thing that you know that if this thing shows up in your life in the new year, a whole bunch of other good things are going to happen. And then you give us your letter of intention. And we hold it for you. And the prayer chaplains in the ministries that I run pray over those letters every single week. And the minister in the ministry that I run prays over those letters every single week. And then in June, we give it back to you. Why do we give it back to you in June? Because the power of faith, which is the power of January, the first of the 12 powers, and the power of imagination, which is the power of June, are cooperating powers. They partner together. And so in faith in January, you perceive and believe the good that is ready to receive you. You write it down. And in June, you get the letter back there so that through the power of imagination, you might review, revision, and revitalize your letter of intention for the year. Who really wants to get the letter in January and go, who wrote this? And the whole year's gone, right? Because the power of order is our power to reorganize, adjust, change direction, review, get back in line. And so the imaginal Christ is nothing more than these 12 powers working together in the harmony of love, because love is the harmonizing, unifying, unity love, the bringing of all things together in union and harmony. To get these 12 powers to work in and through us to manifest the Christ that we are. Now, I know that every single one of you knows the 12 powers. No, cheat sheets. You have to watch those South Africans. You got to watch them. They like to come prepared. You know what they are. You know what they do. And you know how to use them. Right? And so therefore, you're doing the work. Right? We're all doing the work. Yes. So we're not disappointed with the results we're not getting from the work we're not doing. There's nobody here that would fall into that category. Nah. We're all very happy. We're very happy with the work we're doing, and we're very happy with the results we're getting. You know, God wants us to be responsible. Do you know why God wants us to be responsible? Because God has given us the abilities and the powers to be response able. We lack nothing. We lack nothing that holds us back from our divine good. We have all the faith we need. We have all the strength we need. We have all the wisdom, all the love, all the power, all the imagination, all the understanding, all the will, all the order, all the zeal, all the illumination, and all the life we need to fulfill the divine potential and possibility within us. If that divine potential and possibility is not showing up in our lives, we are responsible. God has given us everything. And so the beauty of this formula that the divine imaginal Christ brings to us is that all things are possible. The seed of everything is within you. You are the gardener of your good, and it starts with you. You love this ministry. Marge, I'm guessing. I've been here 2 days now, and it's, you know, it's pregnant with love fest possibility, right? I was a little worried when Daniel used the word swing. I thought, what's going on here? What kind of ministry is this? You are familiar with the story of the caterpillar and the butterfly. There's wonderful spiritual analogy in the natural order of things. You might have known, if you've read the Christian scriptures, that Jesus often referred to the natural order when he taught. The butterfly for me is a symbol of transition and transformation. Closer investigation taught me that there is in the caterpillar's DNA, a cell that is referred to as the imaginal cell. The imaginal cell. At some stage in the caterpillar's life cycle, this cellular activity known as the imaginal cell begins the transformation process of the caterpillar, taking it into the chrysalis phase, out of which emerges the transformed caterpillar as a butterfly. It's in the caterpillar. It's sleeping. It's waiting for the divinely appointed time to begin its work. Guess what the caterpillar does? Sings? Eventually, yes. The caterpillar initially sees the emerging imaginal cell as a foreign body and resists it. Its immunity system fights it. It sees it as an foreign active agent, and it attacks it. Is your bell ringing right now? Do you have a caterpillar immune system? Like me? Yeah? We resist, we sabotage, we frustrate, we hinder, we hassle our unfolding divine good. But the imaginal cell within the caterpillar is powerful. It is determined. It has a divine purpose, and it will complete its task with divine power and prosperity. And eventually, these cells divide and harmonize and get together, and the chrysalis phase is upon the caterpillar, and then the butterfly is born. And we're all like, oh, it's so beautiful. How many of us like the butterfly more than the caterpillar? Sure. But the spiritual truth is that the butterfly is in the caterpillar, and the caterpillar is in the butterfly. Because guess where caterpillars come from? Butterfly eggs. Each one of us, at any point in time, are both the caterpillar and the butterfly. These are states of consciousness within us that we can wake up each day and we can say to ourselves, today I choose to be a butterfly. Or today I choose to have a transformational caterpillar experience. Yes? There is no butterfly without the caterpillar. Huh? Think of that for a moment. This thing that you're going through individually, this thing that this ministry is going through collectively, is in divine order. What is next and best will not be unless this phase of the unfolding imaginal Christ fulfills its divine purpose. It's an inside-out thing. It cares not about appearances. It cares about intention, attitude, focus, awareness. John Smith was a working-class, everyday man who liked to dress well. And his goal in life was to be able to afford a handmade tailored suit. And finally that day came. He had the money, he found the tailor, he made the appointment, and off he went. He had a fitting and was told by the tailor to come back a week later to get his suit. It was the longest week of his life. But he was there early that Friday morning, before the tailor got there, waiting to see this creation that the tailor had effected. Put on the suit, it was perfect. He paid the tailor every single dollar he had saved for the suit. He was proud and he was prominent. And he walked home across the park to his apartment on the other side. And when he got home, he noticed that the right sleeve of the suit was shorter, creeping up a little bit. So the next morning, back to the tailor. He said that the suit is fine, except for the right sleeve seems to be shifting up as I walk. Taylor said, well, John, I can take that sleeve off and put a new one on, but that's going to cost $100. And I do believe that you have spent every dollar you have. Why don't you just pull down the sleeve while you're walking? So he thought, okay, I'll give that a try. Crossed the park, home that day, pulling down the sleeve. It worked fine. But when he got home, he noticed that the left leg on the pants is creeping up a little bit. The next morning, he's back to the tailor, same story, gets reminded that he doesn't have enough money for a new suit or a leg, and so the tailor says, why don't you just kick out that leg while you keep it down there while you're walking. So he's walking across the park. And he gets home, and I will finish this off now. He gets home, the sleeve's fine, the pants are working, but the lapel on the left side seems to be coming up. Back to the tailor. Taylor says, look, the sleeve's working okay. The pants legs you got under control. Why don't you just nudge that down with your chin. For the last time, he's off across the park, back to his apartment. He's pulling down the sleeve. He's kicking out the leg. He's nudging down the collar. And there are two municipal workers having their lunch on a park bench. And the one worker looks up and says, "There but for the grace of God goes me." And the other one says, "Yes, but what a nice suit." The imaginal Christ doesn't care what we wear, what we drive, where we live, what we do for a living, how much money we have, what cars we drive. The imaginal Christ wants to take us on a journey of transition and transformation into the chrysalis phase of uncertainty, of not having a past and not having a future, bringing out the beauty of the butterfly in each one of us, not so that we're finished with our transition and transformation, but we can become caterpillars again, but at a whole new level, at a whole new dimension. The Christ is interested in the heart of the individual and the heart of the community. If the heart of the individual and the heart of the community is aligned with what is true and right and good that is represented in the Christ, that true right and good is birthed and nurtured and nourished in the individual, in the community, and in the world. This is the experience that you are having right now. You may feel like you're a caterpillar. You might feel like you're a chrysalis, but you're actually an unfolding butterfly. Yes? And the imaginal Christ is at work within you. And whenever the imaginal Christ is at work, we are in the embryonic stage of divine potential and possibility. And we are aligned with a God for which all things are possible. And in everything, the best is yet to come. Mavis Baker was 93 years old when she called up her minister and said, "Come on over, I want to start making plans for my funeral and my wake." And so the minister went over and had a cup of tea. For you guys, that's tea. And she said to her minister, "Here's what I want you to do. I would like to lie in wake for one day and let my spiritual community, excuse me, visit with me and say their goodbyes. But I have two conditions. I'd like you to dress me in my wedding dress and place in my right hand a sterling silver dessert fork." And of course the minister was, "What?" Well, he didn't say that out loud, but that's what he was thinking. And she said, "And I want you to tell them this story. That I met my husband when I was 19 or 20 years old. And we were blind dates at a wedding ceremony. And we found ourselves sitting at the dinner table just as the main course, the entree, the cutlery was being moved. And he grabbed the dessert fork and he gave it to me. And he said to me, 'Hold on to this because the best is yet to come.' And we have lived our lives in that attitude and intention, that we have maintained a relationship that is strong in faith, steadfast in love, always ready, willing, and able to receive our good. And we have been blessed with a life when always the best is yet to come. That is my blessing for you today, as a ministry, as a community, as a spiritual family. For you and me and Reverend Kathy, who's coming next week. No doubt that for each one of us and all of us, the divine good will unfold in its own unique, orderly way, and for one and all, the best is yet to come. Be strong in your faith, be steadfast in your love, be ready to receive your good. Thank you.